So when we talk about, you know, differentiators of what makes a high performer versus a good performer or an average performer, I think it really has to do with curiosity. The willingness to look at oneself, the willingness to be open to learning, the willingness to grow, both as an athlete and as a person. And I think that when we just rely on the skills that we've been given and just happen to be good at that, we can be okay. But as I say, it depends how good you want to be. And I ask people that all the time. I don't know. How good do you want to be? It's kind of up to you.
I don't even know how to answer that.
Sorry.
No, it's such a, it's an interesting question. And I think it's, I mean, this time of year, if people are always reflecting and trying to be something different, that they want to change their diet or exercise more.
Sure.
And the way in which I think about some of the, what you just said about curiosity, do you think in order to be open to change that you have to be able to understand your self-worth or your self-value? Is that like a baseline of trying to make sure that then you can have the openness to be confident enough to progress forward?
I think asking questions implies that you don't know. I don't know everything. I'm pretty good at what I do, but I don't know everything.
Yeah.
So there's some risk involved in asking the questions. There's a certain level of vulnerability. And unless you're willing to take that risk necessary to be your best, requires questions and curiosity. So I think it's a lot about vulnerability.
Mm. So how do you then take some of these high performers and get them to that point where they may have never gotten to that point ever?
How exactly. That's a tough thing to do, especially with a population that has worked their butts off to make sure they're never vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
They always seem to have everything together. And that's true in sports and or in business.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even just as a parent. That's not always easy for people. And so how do you help them? Depends how good you want to be. These are really competitive people.
Yeah.
Most of the people that I deal with are tops in their field, or amongst the top in their field or their industry. And most of them really want to continue to get better, to see how good they can be. They know they're pretty good. And the ones that aren't really interested in that, they're happy with where they are and they just are fine continuing to do what they've always done. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't worry about those people. You know, it's not my problem. And I'm interested in helping people make that next step.
Yeah.
And so you help them by understanding that they can be a certain way and still be okay, which is really hard for people.
Yeah.
So remember, really successful people, they've got a lot of experience at success. Not as much at failure.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have that. Now, I don't suffer from that the same way that those guys do. I don't have that same level of success. So I have a lot more experience for failure. So the reason why that's important is that I've been able to figure out that I can fail and still be okay.
Yeah.
But if I don't have much experience at failure, I don't really know that. So if I've always gotten straight A's and I get my first B, I mean, I know people that has been a major crisis.
Mm-hmm.
One of my oldest friends, my old girlfriend, would tell me that I remember that when she came home with a B, she was just horrified. And I'm thinking, geez, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I was actually proud of her for getting the B
because
I thought it would help her. That she doesn't have to be so perfect to be okay. She's perfect enough. And helping people understand that they're good enough is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can help them there, now you've opened the door to somebody that can start to look at, now I have a chance to be at my best. Now I have a chance to utilize the talent and the skills that I have to really take it somewhere cool that I just haven't ever gone before.
Yeah. So it's that old adage of just like failing fast and trying to like...
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, any successful person will tell you, you know, you have to figure out you're going to fail. You got to pick yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago when I would go recruiting with college coaches and you know, just for example, in soccer, my wife was a national level mm-hmm. player and a college soccer coach of Division I for almost 20 years. And I used to go on recruiting trips with her, and I'd watch. I didn't know much about soccer when we first started out, but I was always interested. You know, there's all these people looking to evaluate talent and who to recruit. And honestly, it's easy to see who's the biggest, fastest, and the strongest. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know anything about soccer to figure that out. Who can get to end quickest? So those people were easy to pick out. But what I was always looking for is what happens when they lose the ball. I want to see how they deal with failure. How do they manage that when they get knocked down and somebody picks off the ball? Do they get back up? Do they blame their teammate? Do they blame the ref? Mm-hmm. Do they sit there and pout? Do they let the play go by them? Or do they get back and get right into it and try and make something else happen? Because those are the critical differentiators. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got the skill.
Right, right.
So what differentiates a person is that belief in themselves that they don't allow that failure to define them. But they use failure, just like we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. as emotions being information and data. But if I fear my emotions, failure being an emotion, mm-hmm. then I'm not learning. I'm not growing because it's telling me something, but I don't want to acknowledge it.